of adjustment, but easy on the curves.
Not a glitch, Dad. Just got dyslexia, okay?
This out on you! This out on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
Obscure Disney Podcast.
Brought to you by Gaston's Interior Design. We use antlers in all of our decorations.
To all who have come to this podcast, welcome. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast. I'm Steven.
And I'm Ryan.
And with new episodes coming out every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass to this podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Simply search for the Obscure Disney Podcast or go to obscuredisneypodcast.com. That's where you'd find us.
That's where you'd find us.
Yeah.
Steve, are you ready for your 5 dozen egg omelet?
My 5 dozen. So I'm just roughly the size of a barge, apparently.
I don't know if it would come out as muscle or fat at that point if you're eating 5 dozen eggs every day.
Wouldn't it be great if you really could just eat that much just to be big? Do it.
Well,
I would totally do it.
I guess.
It's not how it works, though.
It's not how it works. It's not how any of this works.
But it would be great to be Gaston.
It would be. Well, no. It would not be great to be Gaston, either.
Well, I'll accept the ending.
Yeah. Right. The ending's the most important part.
That's, yeah. It's all, truly. That is true. Yeah, I wouldn't want that. But other than that, sure. I would actually not want to be him now that we mention it.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, it would be nice to have the physique, I'm sure.
Other than that, yeah. There's nothing else I would like.
No.
No.
He's a pretty miserable person.
Horrible, actually. In both the animated and the live action.
Actually, he's pretty happy with himself.
Well, he is, but nobody else is.
That's true.
Right? No, I guess there's some girls who want him or stuff, but Belle doesn't want him.
No, the person he wants doesn't want him, which is pretty depressing.
Yeah, kind of. So today we're talking about Beauty and the Beast, kind of as an IP, kind of about Gaston, not really as much about the movie, even though we just did. So yeah,
true.
There you go.
Well, the thing is we, with us trying to watch all the movies in order, we don't want to jump ahead
to the
like,
90s,
right?
We're still in 1940.
That's like some crazy time travel. I get a nosebleed jumping that far ahead. True. So we're just going to kind of talk about Gaston as a person, as a character, and then maybe some things in the parks that are Gaston related.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Gaston in the parks? Have you ever seen the face character walking around?
Once, only once, and I don't remember where, when, or how, but I do remember like the big foamy over-the-top muscles.
Right.
And it just looked exhausting for that poor guy. Like, I'm sure he was putting on a good face, but I knew the truth. I was like, I'm sweating and I'm wearing flip-flops and a tank top, so
right.
I can imagine what you feel like.
And I'm sure they give him breaks and stuff, but you're right. It can't be any worse, though, than any of the other fur-type characters, you know?
Probably not worse. And they only let those guys be in character for about 15 minutes, right? Is that the max on most of the characters?
I think it's depending on the time of year, but yeah, I think they have them out for maybe 15 to 20 minutes before they give them a break.
Yeah, Tiana has to be out there for way longer than that. One loop around is 15 minutes.
Right, but then she gets off, doesn't she?
She only goes on for one ride, typically, but she doesn't go right back. She walks around a little bit, I thought.
She's a trooper.
Well,
the last few times we've seen her, though, she's been wearing like a...
You could not get me out of the parks if I was walking around in that big old dress. I would be like, no.
Here's the secret to keeping Steve in the parks all day.
Dress me up like
Tiana. Put him in a pretty dress.
But you and I both know how miserable and pissed off I would actually be.
I don't know how girls do it, honestly. Like, how terrifying would it be to walk around and just have everything open underneath there? It seems really dangerous.
Well, they do have like handlers that help them. So as long as I had,
that's true.
As long as I had multiple handlers each and every day.
We're way off subject. So I was just asking because I don't enjoy interacting with the face characters characters in general.
Mm-mm.
They scare me.
That is true.
So, and I'm not even sure what it is about the face characters that makes me so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
but I get physically uncomfortable when they're around me.
Yeah.
So I've never actually had an interaction with a Gaston, but people really seem to like this over-the-top character in the parks.
Right.
They think he's funny and yeah. fun to interact with and things.
I can see that for sure.
And at Disney World, you almost always find him back at his tavern back in the expansion of Fantasyland back okay. there. And I think that area is super neat. We've been there together once. Was it just the one time we've been there?
Yeah, I've only been to Magic Kingdom one time so far.
Okay.
Can you imagine you all? What kind of life is that?
That is not a life That's, worth living. You need to repair that.
Absolutely.
Immediately.
Gosh, what do you think our Disneyland number is up to now for, I don't know.
How many times have we been to Disneyland?
I know that the last annual pass said, congratulations, you're at your 21st visit. And that was the last annual pass that we had.
Right.
So that was fun.
So if we averaged out, we had annual passes for Disneyland for three or four years.
So I don't know.
60 some odd times.
Sure, we'll go 60.
but Disney World, we need to get on the ball, apparently.
Truly. Yeah.
So
as soon as it cools off, we are headed back.
Okay. I'm going to hold you to that. but they have a section back in Fantasyland that's almost all Beauty and the Beast themed. It has this great fountain that has Gaston and LeFou with water spouts going everywhere and beer steins and things like that.
Yeah.
And then Gaston's Tavern, which I've never actually been in. But looking
Did you think it was an actual tavern?
No. I was scared. no, I think it was just, I'm not a big eater in the parks.
Right.
It's not my number one priority.
Mm-mm. We have way too much on our agenda.
Right. I want to get on the rides.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see things.
Absolutely.
So when people are like, let's take 3 hours to eat lunch, I'm like, you are wasting my time. And it's the same thing with people want to stop and get food and drinks constantly.
Right.
In Florida, I can understand it a bit more. You get pretty dehydrated in Florida and it's extremely humid. So I understand getting drinks more often in Florida or whatever, but
highly recommended.
I'm not a big person, so I don't eat a lot. Right. I've never eaten 5 dozen eggs. I've never even eaten 4 dozen eggs in my life. So
collectively
and over the course of my lifetime, I've not eaten that many eggs. Right. So the idea of eating constantly is not my thing, but people seem to like Gaston's Tavern, right?
Yeah.
And you said they had cinnamon rolls.
Are apparently legendary.
Legendary.
Yeah, we're going with a legendary.
Oh.
Well, that's the first thing that we tried the next time we go back is the cinnamon rolls. Those things look at me. Actually, you know what? Probably not the first thing. You can't eat that first thing in the morning, right?
It's a breakfast food, right?
Yeah.
But honestly, first thing in the morning, you want to get on things before the crowds get too crazy, honestly.
Yeah, I have just downed my Starbucks while walking through the park. I won't even stop at the park. I get it beforehand.
Well, we have to find good places to eat. So we might as well start with Gaston's Tavern and try to figure out what we like in the park, right?
Yeah.
So it looks like a fun idea, and it's right next to Be Our Guest, which I think is a pretty impressive restaurant.
Right. Yeah.
Because we ate there last time we were there.
We did. Yeah, we were lucky enough to get in there for some sort of service.
It was a lunch service.
Yeah, it wasn't the full service. We were not that fancy.
No.
I would love to be that fancy.
You have to plan ahead.
You have to make reservations, and it's a 3-course meal and all kinds of jazz.
Right.
Like, it's quite a thing.
But literally, it's maybe not the first time, but it's one of the only times that they've put like a secondary castle in a Disney park. Like Disneyland, when you go through like the Storybrooke canals, they have some castles in there.
Right.
But the Beast Castle that they have at Disney World is like out and about and like a focal piece.
Right.
And then you walk into the Be Our Guest restaurant through the front of there. It's really impressive, honestly.
Yeah, the Be Our Guest is pretty dang it. Like, it's a pretty phenomenal place. Everybody wants to go in there. It's the only place it snows in Florida.
It snows in there?
I think it's the vision. Because they have the, in the ballroom, they have the screens that go all the way around the room.
Oh.
And apparently there's a snow scene of sorts that comes through there.
I was thinking they let Elsa loose in there. I was like, why would Elsa be in there?
This is not a good thing. You know that that is an issue.
This is a horrific crossover.
Right, but wasn't that the first restaurant that had the thing where you put the rose on the table? It's rose there.
It's the first time that I've ever seen it.
They have a few other restaurants now that you do that, right? Where you order something and then just put the thing on the table and then it tells them where to bring the food to.
Do they? I don't know.
I think that there are a few other character breakfasts or character dining plans that do it.
Oh, okay.
I think it was the first one.
Yeah, it's a really cool system where, at least when we went, so I think they do it for breakfast and lunch.
Okay.
You go up to a podium and order like a regular quick serve kind of restaurant. And then they give you a rose, like a plastic rose that's probably about the size of the palm of your hand.
Yeah.
That you take with you.
It's just a fancy Chili's type of a beacon. Because they give those when you're waiting in line at Chili's.
But it does more than the Chili's thing. Because the Chili's thing just vibrates and tells you to come to get your stuff.
Or Texas Roadhouse, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But this one you actually set on your table and it's, you know, magical, of course, that the chef shows up with your food on a tray and delivers it to you at your table like you're a fancy lady.
You are a fancy lady when you have all that.
Well, you will be when you go in your dress and your four handlers.
This sounds expensive.
Gaston's gonna be after you.
I tell you what. No wonder. And that's where you can get the gray stuff, apparently, right?
I hear it's delicious.
That's not what we've heard, actually.
If you don't believe me, you can ask the dishes. I'm just saying. But it's also, there's a restaurant in Disneyland that serves the gray stuff also.
Oh, do they serve it there?
They do, and we've just never gotten it.
Okay. Okay.
I assume it's kind of an experience that we should probably have. I don't think I've ever had it. Honestly.
Yeah, according to Jen, it tastes like milk. Is that what she said?
Did someone say it tastes like milk?
Milk. Basically like milk. Gross. Yeah, just solid milk.
Well, she says it, they say it's delicious. So I would like to at least try it and make my own opinion.
But the freaky thing about that one is they have the little dessert, and the dessert has the little chocolate character of Chip the Cup.
Yeah.
And you eat him.
Oh.
Right? Is that what they do?
You're eating like pottery shrapnel.
But you can't. Chip is the cutest character in that show. How can you possibly eat Chip? Like, in good faith, how can you put him in?
This is the problem with people making food looking like things.
Right.
Because, like, I've seen, like, enough baking shows to know that you don't make a baby announcement cake shaped like a baby.
Oh,
right.
Because
don't nobody want to hack into a baby and eat a baby at a baby shower.
Right.
So I think Disney needs to take a hint from that and maybe make it a cute cup, like a stylized cup, but maybe not Chip specifically.
I don't know, because it is absolutely cute.
Like, yeah.
You want to just, you know, keep it refrigerated and take it home with you, but...
Could you imagine trying to walk around Walt Disney World with a
worst
chocolate
idea
cup?
Ever. Like, by then, it'll just be a chocolate mess, and you could just... Then you
You'll
won't
have
feel
chocolate
some...
pockets.
Yeah. Just put it in your pocket. Oh, take that, Chip.
Yeah.
That sounds awful.
Which would you rather be, really? Melted out in the sun or eaten, you know?
If I had to choose, I'd rather be eaten, actually.
There you go.
Because then it's just quick and painless.
Right.
Yeah.
There he does.
As opposed to just slow melting over long periods of time. Sounds awful. But so with Gaston's Tavern, do you think they use antlers in all of their decorating?
Well, they should.
They kind of do.
Legitimately. Oh, do they? Have you seen it?
On the sign on the front of it, there's a bunch of antlers. And then in the back, they almost basically have a mock-up of like the fireplace and the antlers, a lot like what the movie looks like. And apparently that's in there. So that would be really fun to go see.
The great thing about Gaston is he is like one of your friends that has like an absolute favorite thing that you would always know what to get him. Right. Like my mom loved leopard print. And so if you ever were in a question about what to get her,
right,
you would just buy her something with leopard print on it. And she'd be like, I love it. I feel like Gaston would be the same way.
Yeah.
He'd be like, what do you get Gaston? He's so obsessed with himself. What are you going to get him? Oh, just get him something with antlers on it. He'll love it. You know?
We did do that with your mom. We got the Mickey ears that were leopard print.
We did get leopard ear. Yeah. And she loved them.
Do you think they have antler shaped type things that you can get that instead of Mickey ears?
Let's copyright it right now.
And sell those. just wear it for myself. Except for, I like the style. It was really popular a few years ago where it was actually made out of like that plastic stuff, like the antler faces that were, but they were actually plastic instead of dead animals.
Right.
And I loved that idea where they were just the stark white against a colored wall, mm-hmm. in, as far as decorating is concerned. Or there was one person that I saw that painted in pink and put them up on the
those
wall.
Those are fun.
Yeah, like it was like, hello.
At the, that. I used to work at a retail store and they had a section that had a bunch of pink animal heads.
Oh, like really?
All over it. Yeah. I don't know if Gaston decorated it or not, but...
pink plastic antlers?
Hey.
Going with no.
He uses antlers in all of his decorating.
True.
So why not, right? Okay. And that was kind of the fun thing. Gaston, as a character, is very well known.
Yeah.
He's larger than life, a ridiculous character that is, you know, it's a fun thing to parody, honestly.
Right. Yeah.
And... what's great about it is that he's a complete Disney invention. In the original story of Beauty and the Beast, there is no villain or antagonist.
Oh, they can't have that.
Right? And so Disney was like, well, we need a bad guy. We need somebody to be the anti-hero here. You know, we need, not the anti-hero, the villain. We need someone to be the villain.
I thought the villain was the goat that ate the book.
I hate that sheep. It stresses me every time that sheep eats that page out of that book. She just got that book. And that sheep is eating it.
She was so nice. She didn't even say nothing
about
it.
She didn't say anything. Mm. She loves books so much, and yet she's letting the sheep eat it.
So that was the original villain. But then when that didn't hold up.
That didn't hold up. The sheep really wasn't a good foil for the beast. So, no, they found a way to create this character that is unpleasant and yet still fun to watch.
Yeah.
Which is a real testament to the animator and to the voice actor.
Right.
So that they created this character. And then, of course, the song "No One Anything Like Gaston" is always
no
fun.
No one falls like Gaston. No,
you don't know the words, do you?
No idea what they are. The only part I do know is the "use antlers in all of his decorating."
Exactly.
It's the only part anybody knows.
Right. I think. Which is why I thought it would be fun this month to make a patch based on Gaston's interior design.
Oh, yeah.
Because naturally, he's easy to parody.
Right.
It's all about antlers. And I'll have to say this, for someone that's drawn things by hand my whole life, antlers are always very daunting.
Yeah.
They tend to be symmetrical and very smooth, and, you know,
true.
It's a difficult thing to draw, but with the digital art, it's so much easier to draw antlers.
Oh, was it really?
It was so much easier because the program, I can draw one half of the antlers and the program will do the other half.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah.
The same.
That is
so
pretty cool.
I was like, this is the perfect opportunity to draw antlers,
right?
So that I won't have to do them again by hand. And I really liked this patch, how it came out. It's huge.
It is a big patch.
It's a big old patch, which is perfect for Gaston. If you're going to have a Gaston patch, it has to be big.
Yeah, it measures like 6 inches across from point to point.
Is it 6 inches?
Yes.
Wow.
If you were to put it as a triangle, basically, then it's 6 inches from point to point.
Wow, I didn't even know that.
It's not even going to fill in.
It's substantial. Envelope. Totally worth buying, right?
Yeah.
And it's fun. It's also the epitome of the obscure Disney concept where... you know what it is. It doesn't mm-hmm. specifically say Gaston interior design on the patch. It just says GID on the patch.
Yeah.
So you can totally wear it around. People will think it's just a cool patch with a bunch of antlers.
Yeah.
And roses on it.
Because we had to put the iconic Beauty and the Beast rose on
right.
there.
Like, although I'm sure he's not a fan
of the rose.
Of the rose.
He has an interior design company. He's got to learn to adapt.
He has to adapt. I mean, if you can learn to stick antlers on anything, you should be able to put a rose in there every now
right.
and then.
Right? How is he going to feel when I ask for white and pink antlers all over the place?
Ugh, he's not going to be happy.
I tell you what.
And so it just came out so well.
Right.
And it came out so masculine, which I think is great for a Gaston patch also.
Right.
The coloring is very Hunter-esque with right. the browns and the greens. And that's why it also works perfect for the beginning of the autumn season.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
The fun autumn colors.
Mm-hmm.
If you were going to get it, where would you put it?
So we're getting into the fall time season, and yeah. I'm super excited that I get to get a Levi jacket without arms and put patches across the back there.
You're going to do a Levi vest?
Well, yeah, I hate sleeves of any kind. Like, I okay. am reluctant to
we
actually...
We are coming out as anti-sleeve on this podcast.
I have to wear sleeves. It's required by my job, so I have to. But could you imagine if I just showed up?
Looking like a Chippendale dancer with your tie on and no sleeves.
Oh, but it's really fun that we're actually getting into that season where now I'll be able to use a Levi jacket and really deck it out with the patches.
Oh, that is a good idea.
Of course, across like the back, I think would be super fun.
And we just recently saw a bunch of fall fashion that have patches and embroidery stuff.
Patches all over that mall.
It was
everywhere
amazing,
we looked.
Right?
Yeah.
And
or the like, huge embroidery stuff too that took up the entire back.
Right,
that stuff was massive.
I'm not great with the needle and thread, so I don't think I'll be embroidering anything personally
like that,
but the patches I can obviously get totally behind.
Right.
And they had like a ton of them on their jack and stuff. It's super 80s again, which I think is super fun.
Kind of, but they're it's a really fresh take on it.
Exactly.
It's not and quite as dated as it was back then.
Right.
And the people that are putting them pretty high on their Levi's.
Yeah, like up on your upper thigh and stuff.
Yeah, I really like that look.
They
a
look
lot too.
Great. I am totally down for covering your stuff with patches. Not just because we sell them.
But because it's cool.
But be cool.
Yeah.
Put your patches on,
yeah.
right? And
yeah.
And I'm sure, honestly, that if you are brave enough to go up to a character and explain to them that you're wearing a patch inspired by them, they'd be totally excited about it.
Oh, I would think so.
Right? So. Gaston's vain enough that he'd be totally thrilled if you had a patch with his stuff on it, right?
True.
So, if you want to impress people, even characters, go out and buy a patch.
Yeah.
Put it on something fun.
Yeah.
And we do that with hats, too.
Yeah. So. I like the shirt that I actually have that has just the one single patch per shirt that matches the sleeves that I do have on those shirts.
Right.
It's the same color. Both of those shirts are pretty cool that I like
yeah.
to wear those as well, too. Because it's just one patch and it's not quite as, you know, because then it's really light. The only sad part is it's on my back in the middle and I can't see it. So I forget it's even there.
Well, you know, whose fault is that?
Right.
That would be your fault.
This is where I like things.
Right. So, this has been a quick discussion about all things Gaston, Beauty and the Beast, gray stuff, and eggs. We were just all over the place.
Tiana.
But the takeaway is we have a new patch out this month, Gaston Interior Design. Go check it out at DisneyPatch.com or Obscurity.com. Or Obscure Disney Podcast.
No, just yeah.
Like we're everywhere.
Just go to Disney Patch is the easiest place.
DisneyPatch.com, easy to find. But until next time, follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger Disney point to the exit, and we'll see you then on the Obscure Disney Podcast.